Oh boy, we're live. What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on Tuesday morning for some Packers Daily Chat. Obviously, the NFL world has been consumed by Patrick Mahomes and the contract extension he signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. Basically, my entire Twitter feed, I'm sure yours as well, has been just one pontification after another about the deal, what it means for Kansas City, how it breaks down, how much money he's going to make. And look, I know we're all very educated when it comes to NFL contracts, and we know most of the money that we see thrown around, the amounts, et cetera, the breakdowns really kind of fade away over time. The nitty-gritty of the actual contract gets looked at, and I am certain that after, I know this is an extension, they touted as a 10-year thing. He had 2 years remaining on his current deal. They extended that, et cetera. I will be very curious to watch how things unfold and where the kind of pressure points slash outs are on the contract, and what it means for the squad around him. And they've got a lot of young guys there. And a lot of young, talented guys who are going to want to get paid. And I don't think that they've hampered themselves in the short term. I think long term, if they keep to that contract, it is going to be a problem. But I also think that you can still build your squad around Patrick Mahomes, who is insanely talented, and I don't expect that to change anytime soon. So, yeah, it's always a fun discussion in the middle of July. And I do hope. We also saw it this morning, just before I went live, a couple of restructures. You know, Rex Burkhead in New England, Olivier Vernon in Cleveland have made some adjustments to their contracts. I wonder if we might see one or two of those in Green Bay coming up. I do hope that we see some news on Kenny Clark in the next couple weeks prior to the start of camp. And speaking of the start of camp, J.C. Treader, former Packer, current NFLPA president, put out a post this morning kind of rattling the NFLPA's saber. It sure sounds like there is some tension, some simmering tension between the PA and the NFL in regards to not only the return to training camp, but the preseason itself. PA is adamant that there be no preseason games. The NFL, in JC's words, cannot provide a answer as to why they should be holding these preseason games in the middle of a pandemic that do not count in the standings. The answer there obviously is monetary. The owners want whatever money they can garner off of these preseason games. Probably local broadcast rights more than anything. And, you know, the PA, I think rightly so, is saying, why the hell are we playing these games? Let's just practice. Let's get ready for the season. And, you know, NFL having its MLB moment. I hope they have a better outcome. But we're not out of the woods slash there yet, there being the start of training camp. I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of twists and turns over the course of the next 10 days or so. Garrett, good morning. Too early for beer? Never. I mean, you're more than welcome to imbibe whatever you wish. I'm having coffee at the moment. Paid Kenny Clark. You got that right. I can almost guarantee Mahomes doesn't see the end of that contract without being restructured at some point. Yeah, Frank, I 1,000,000,000% agree. Steven, excellent question. Do they get Aaron Jones or Kenny Clark done first? I think it's Kenny Clark. I think he's the priority. That doesn't mean that they couldn't get Aaron done first. Maybe they hammer something out before the start of camp. As Aaron told me here on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel a couple weeks ago, they have had discussions. Now, I think those were much closer to the combine than they have been recently. But, you know, there's obviously been a mutual desire from both parties to get something done. And I do think they'll get Aaron Jones under contract, but who knows on the timing of it. As far as prioritizing, I do think Kenny is the priority. Corey, what do you do for a living, Mr. Fletch? I'm a shepherd. Do you own rubber gloves? I lease with an option to buy. Daniel, good question. Will the defense be better than the offense this year? Well, I mean, that really depends on the metrics you're using and what your lens, the lens you're looking through, right? I just want the defense to improve from where it was last year. I have no idea if it'll be better than the offense per se. I do wonder how consistent the offense can be and how efficient it can be, because we saw at times last year the offense was really humming. When it was humming, it was downright deadly and really productive. But then nearly every single game, they had stretches where they just couldn't get out of their own way and really didn't produce and weren't efficient. So if they continue down that path, then I think, yeah, there's a chance the defense could be better than the offense. I think we all know where the defense's weaknesses lie. There's no question that they feasted off turnovers last year and were very good in the red zone. And if you just do those two things, you're going to win a lot of football games. And if they can continue that and then improve on early downs, especially against the run, the defense has a chance to be something pretty special. The problem, of course, is, and we've talked about it a lot here, is what has changed. It's not like there's been a huge influx of talent like there was two seasons ago. Even one major key piece hasn't been added. I mean, they've added guys, obviously, but I don't think you look at any one of those additions and say that's a field tilter. That's a game changer. And I understand there are, you know, reasons behind it. There's definitely financial concerns, especially when you look at the guys like Kenny Clark, Aaron Jones, probably David Bakhtiari, maybe Kevin King, all needing to get paid. Well, you can't go hog wild. So I get that. But yeah, the improvement is going to have to come from within. Guys like Kingsley Keke are going to have to step up. And the defense, I do think, will be better. How much better? Is it better than the offense? Ask me again after we've seen at least just a modicum of live snaps, which, hell, may not be till week one, the way this is going. I just want the defense to get aggressive. Danny, I agree, and it's funny because the age-old joke is like when coordinators get hired, especially on the defensive side of the ball, it's always, oh, we're going to be multiple, we're going to be aggressive. Aggressive is always the word you hear from defensive guys, and we've heard it from Mike Pettine. But then throughout last season, you saw so much kind of just a lot of passiveness on early downs. Not a ton of pressure calls, even, you know, run blitzes. I just really kind of read and react stuff. And I contend that he does need to get a bit more aggressive. And I don't want to be that, you know, guy at the end of the bar going, oh, they need to blitz more, you know, because obviously it's never that simple. But I do think he has to be a bit more aggressive on early downs and try to dictate a little bit more to opposing offenses. Because last year, especially against the better quarterbacks, QBs who have been in the league for a while and know what they're looking at, you know, just the worst probably case, I think the clearest case of that was the game out in Los Angeles against the Chargers. Phillip Rivers just absolutely put on a clinic as far as walking up to the line of scrimmage, seeing what they're in, making a call and an adjustment, and then going to town. Now, obviously, not every single play was successful, but by and large, he did a great job of getting them into something that could take advantage of what he saw pre-snap. That's got to change. If you want to be a championship defense, you've got to be able to disguise a little bit better than that. Frank, thanks for the super chat. Do you see the Packers using more RPOs in the game plan, considering how uncomfortable Rodgers seemed running the concepts? Well, you know, they've got another year. They've got a year now under their belt of running it. It is noticeable how they kind of went away from the RPO stuff as the year went on. It was hard to watch early on in that first month. I don't think they'll, quote unquote, get away from it. I think it'll always be part of this offense. I would be very interested to see a breakdown once Jordan Love takes over. I think you'll see a lot more of it. You know, that's the offense that Jordan Love, you know, basically grew up in, much more so than Aaron Rodgers has. That's a very new thing for Aaron in the breadth of his football career. But I don't think it'll disappear. Now, will they use more of it? I don't know. I think you'll see a sprinkling of RPO each week, but that's about it. Carrying the G here in Scotland. What's up, Robin? Good morning from New York. How are you? Do you see DeGuara at fullback this year? Damn, not as a strict fullback. I am interested to see if they even carry one on the squad because they have so many versatile guys like DeGuara, and Sternberger can play back there. We saw that down the stretch last year. But, you know, I think he'll play all over. I do think we'll see him as an H-back, as an up-back sometimes with a running back in the backfield. But I don't think they'll utilize him as a fullback, so to speak. William, thanks for the super chat. I'm excited to see Gary in year two. I am too, man. I tell you what, you know, I know he keeps posting these workout videos, and you guys know I've talked about it. Workout videos and I just, not that we don't get along, it's just they don't excite me because everyone's working out. But, you know, you look at his tape last year and you see the raw talent. You see the strength. You see the speed. If that guy can put it together, and, you know, a lot of this is going to be down to Mike Smith, the outside linebackers coach, trying to unlock that potential. But, man, there's a lot there to be excited about. He needs a couple counter moves. But, yeah, I think especially on obvious passing downs, you like the potential there. And I thought he held up pretty damn well against the run last year, and I would like to see him utilized more on early downs for that reason. Now, I know that means taking one of the Smiths off the field, but you got to keep those guys healthy too. I'm all for it. Is Vitaly a good fit for the Patriots? Yeah, I think so. I think it'll be really fun watching Josh McDaniels utilize him as a pass catcher. I know for whatever reason, the Packers never really kind of leaned into that with Vitaly, but I think that's the one thing he's really good at. He's not a great lead blocker, not a great blocker in general. You know, and he can carry the football, what have you. He can, you know, do whatever he needs to do with the ball in his hands, but I tell you what, he is a great pass catcher. We saw it day after day after day in camp last year. And again, for whatever reason, Packers never really utilized it. But I think Josh McDaniels most certainly will. I don't think there's any question there. Let's see. What else we got? Any thoughts as to why the Packers prefer tall wide receivers when 12 seems to refuse to throw 50-50 balls? Oh, well, that's got nothing to do with Rodgers. That's been their MO since Ron Wolf came on board in the early 90s. It's not so much that they like them tall and big because they want guys who can go up and get 50-50 balls. It's because they like big, rugged guys who are going to be able to work over the middle, are going to be able to be effective blocking the run game. When the weather turns, they're going to do the dirty work, so to speak, on those smash routes, the slants, things that, you know, you're going up against a two-something linebacker. That's the reasoning behind that, and it has been forever in Green Bay. Like I said, Ron Wolf brought that principle with him in the early 90s, and that has been a staple of that personnel group since then. It is always noticeable when they bring in somebody like, say, a Randall Cobb. When they drafted him, I was very surprised because it went very much against their type. But they certainly do have a type. There's no doubt about it. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. Do you see Jones playing PlayStation awaiting his baby boy classic? Oh, man. Yeah, I saw it. I told him he was a legend for it. I thought it was hilarious. And then, of course, the internet got a hold of it and went to town on Aaron. I felt really bad. And, look, I understand his girlfriend put it out there. So when that happens, it's fair game. And I did kind of wince when I saw it and thought, oh, some asshole's going to say something. And assholes did. But, look, I thought it was hilarious. Anybody who's been through the process of childbirth, been there for the birth of their child, knows when you go to the hospital, there's a lot of waiting around. You know, and like she said, the woman herself, she was studying while he was playing. Like, it's not that big a deal. But people's inability to just look at a picture and see a moment and go, oh, that's whatever. And this is how I feel about it. And then keep scrolling rather than, oh, this is trash. Shut up. You're responding to your perception. I always tell my kids, you see the picture, you don't know the story. Until you know the story, just relax. No one needs your opinion on it because you don't know the story. That's how I feel about Aaron Jones playing PlayStation during his wife's labor. That's just me. Like the video, people. William, yeah, thanks, buddy. Yeah, hit like and hit subscribe while you're at it. Good Lord. Let's see what else we got. Pump the brakes when it comes to workout videos. We all lost our ish when we saw MVS work out with Randy Moss, and it's not like MVS had a 1,300-yard season. Yeah, I mean, again, great story, great stuff for the offseason, great fodder, but ultimately doesn't mean a whole lot. Everyone's working out. I thought I saw something like Save the Kettle of Fish. Is there something going on there? I know that's one of your top game-watching spots. Yeah, Garrett, check out the video. We got the video here on the YouTube channel. In fact, I'll put it up right now. Yes, Kettle of Fish has a GoFundMe because they are in dire straits. They have been closed because of the pandemic since
What's up, everyone? Yeah, that's me.
They've been closed since St. Patrick's Day, and they need our help. They're about a little over halfway to their goal. If you watch that video, and in the description of the video, there's a link to the GoFundMe. Let me see. Just because you see the picture doesn't mean you know the story. Facts, Samuel. Thank you. Exactly. Let's see. What else we got? Morning, Nags. Stoked these are back. What does it mean for Love to miss preseason games? Jitsu, I think it means they'll definitely be keeping three quarterbacks. I can't imagine going into the season with no preseason snaps, which is looking likely, and having him back up Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I don't think there's any question there. Now, you know, I do think he'll probably be inactive most weeks if they do carry three. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see because, look, I know the players are pushing for no preseason games. I'm sure coaches hate that idea for this very reason. They got a lot of young guys that they got to get in line and get in shape and get game ready. And I know practice is the best kind of teacher and the best way to develop. But, you know, game situations, game speed, et cetera, I know coaches like it. They like it as an evaluation tool. And if it's not there at all, yeah, Jordan Love, that would be very, very surprising if he's even active on game days. Are you going to cover the corona fuck-ups that happened in NBA and MLB? No, I talk Packers. But I will say this. The Brewers, I have a friend who's a trainer with the Brewers, and they are an absolute machine. Their protocols are incredible. And it is absolutely insane what the hoops they're jumping through to make sure that basically that they stay healthy and ready and, you know, available, ready for go time when they take on the Cubs in a couple weeks. Now, obviously, there have been a couple other teams that have shut down practices, shut down their training because of a delay in results from testing. That stuff that's got to get ironed out. I don't think anybody should have come into this kind of new world that we're living in thinking that things were just going to be smooth. It's obviously that's just ridiculous, but they do got to get it sorted out. There's no doubt about that. What is it about the 49ers that always given Rodgers trouble? D-line, Bryson, I'll tell you what, it's their ability to rush with four. That's always been the issue. They've always had really talented guys up front. So it hasn't mattered who the defensive coordinator is, what the scheme is. They can play kind of a cloud, either cover two man, what have you, something where they're just flooding the field basically with defensive backs and linebackers because they only have to rush four guys. And what's even worse now is that with Saleh back there as their defensive coordinator, who is really talented and should be a head coach by this point, he has taken advantage of that fact. Because Aaron knows this. So Aaron went in, especially that first game, expecting, okay, they're not going to blitz a lot. And then they blitzed a lot early on and really threw him off his game. But traditionally, Aaron has struggled a lot against that team because of their defensive front and their ability to just rush with four. And their ability to play either cover three, cover four, cover two, it hasn't mattered. They can drop however they want. And they can stop the run with four guys up front. They can get after the quarterback with four guys up front. That is always going to be the toughest proposition. And that's why last year, all week leading up to both games, I said, run the fucking ball. Because that is the only way. That is the only way to beat that team. And that is why you saw Seattle beat them the first time, came close to beating them the second time, even though that game got away from them early. But Seattle matches up well with them because they run the fucking ball. LaFleur, Rodgers, for whatever reason, went into both of those San Francisco games going, oh, we're just going to spread it out like we always do. You're just begging to get your ass kicked. Gotta run the ball. It's the only way to beat that team. Hello from Italy, Aaron. Stay safe, buddy. Thank you. Thanks for checking it out. Go Pack, go. I was listening to a podcast where they were hesitant on Rodgers being a first ballot Hall of Famer, saying he'll get in because media loves him. How is he not a first ballot Hall of Famer? Jade, whoever that was, whatever podcast you are listening to, take it, move it into the trash of your computer, and never download or listen to it again. because that is one of the most ridiculous things I have ever heard. Aaron Rodgers is in the Hall of Fame right now. First ballot. He ain't waiting 5 years. He's in right now. That's ridiculous. That is patently absurd. I mean, outside of Ben Baldwin, I'm probably the biggest Aaron Rodgers critic there is, and I know he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Give me a break. Any player on the roster you feel like is overstaying their welcome in terms of lack of productivity? No, Frank. I don't look at the roster that way. I know lots of fans probably do, especially when it comes to contracts, but that ain't my gig. There are certainly guys who will frustrate me on Sundays who I will tear apart Packer Man because of, but yeah, no, I don't look at the roster and think, this guy, what's he still doing here? Now, ask me again during the season. We might get a different answer. Any chance Hackett is up for a head coaching interview after another successful season or two? I think the offense would have to improve greatly. I do, like I said, you do see stretches where they are really productive and really efficient. If they can get, you know, basically 16 games of that, full games, then, yeah, maybe his name starts to circulate. Although, you know, not calling the plays always works against you in the NFL. But we'll see. And he's got the name recognition, obviously, because of his dad. And he has been somewhat successful as a coordinator pretty much everywhere he's gone outside of being scapegoated in Jacksonville. But we'll see. I don't even want to know what that means. I wish the media even had a slight liking for Aaron Rodgers. Joey, come on. See, we're at that dichotomy point, right? We're at that moment in Rodgers' career where he's so big and he's so good and he's such a superstar that everyone feels like he's either covered too much or he's not covered enough or the disrespect. And every time you put up a clip of Aaron Rodgers doing anything, I guarantee within 5 minutes, someone on Twitter will respond, "Oh, if this was Mahomes, there'd be an ESPN 30 for 30 about it." Like, then that also bleeds into the Brady thing. Like, anytime you talk about Aaron Rodgers, "Well, Brady does this, blah, blah, blah." But people just have to jump to these, like, you got to get up on the cross as quickly as possible and say, "My guy is the most maligned." Just relax. People love Aaron Rodgers. People gush over Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's one of the most celebrated athletes in America. You know, has he come under some criticism lately? Yeah, because his play hasn't been as good. There's nothing wrong with saying that. You know, when he makes a good throw, we all ooh and ah. When he makes a dumb read or pulls it down when he shouldn't, or, you know, tries to run on 3rd and 19 and almost fumbles the game away against the Bears, we talk about it. You know, it's okay. It's all right. He's still an all-time great. 150 people in this chat. Let's go! Good to see Packers fans from around the world. I agree. That's why we're here. It's why we do what we do here at Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. It's how we roll. If Favre and Rodgers were playing blackjack, Rodgers wouldn't double down on 11, and Favre would hit on 17. It's pretty good. Bryson, thanks for the super chat. What was Favre's issue with the Cowboys? Pretty similar to what Aaron's was with the 49ers. They were just an excellent team. I mean, you got to remember in the early 90s when they were flying down to Dallas every year and basically ending their season in the playoffs there, Dallas every year. They just had an insanely talented team, top to bottom. I mean, that was like playing your big brother every year. You know, that team was so stacked. You know, it started obviously with the Herschel Walker trade, but Jimmy Johnson just did a phenomenal job collecting talent. And you could, I mean, not in a way you could never do it today, but like they had guys on their bench who were frontline starters on other teams who would be. You know, it was just a case of they were just top to bottom a much better team. You know, I don't think there was anything that it was, you know, Favre couldn't handle whatever. It's just they were insanely talented. No shame in saying that. You know, the one big regret, obviously, will always be the 96 year when they did go to the Super Bowl and the Panthers beat the Cowboys. Because I know I wanted every breathing Packers fan wanted the Cowboys in Lambeau for the NFC Championship game to exorcise those demons. And we got it the next year. But to beat the Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl would have been... But it was Carolina instead. Do you think the players will open for longer-term contracts for less years if they... What does that mean, Samuel? That doesn't make any sense. Do you think that players will be open for longer-term contracts for less a year? Oh, less a year. If they guarantee something every year with incentives. I mean, it's down to the individual players. It's impossible to say, impossible to give it a blanket statement. I do think you'll see more attempts to tie into the percentage of cap. That drumbeat has been going for a long time now. We'll see. I really want a Packer, man. Yeah. Ooh, Norman. Norman with a tough one. Dak Prescott or Carson Wentz? I love both quarterbacks. I'll probably go Carson Wentz if he's fully healthy. Now, he hasn't been in a long time. But I think overall between the two, I'd take Wentz. Now, that's in a total vacuum, just looking at the player. I think Wentz is better. But I love Dak. And I think he's deserving of every penny he can get out of Jerry Jones. No doubt about it. Favorite Packer playoff game ever? Ever? Whew. Probably that NFC Championship game, the 96 one. When Favre tossed that touchdown to Dorsey Levens, it was the first time ever in my life I thought I might actually see the Packers in the Super Bowl. Because up until then, I still wasn't like, oh, God, I was still nervous, right? But then he hit that pass, and Levens is that moment, it was like, the Packers might go to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, that's probably it. I mean, there have been amazing games throughout the years. I'll never forget the Giants wildcard game when Randall Cobb caught that Hail Mary at the end of the first half in the exact end zone where Eli Manning had hit a Hail Mary at the end of the first half years before. That exercised some demons. So that was really lovely. But, yeah, it's probably the NFC Championship game against the Panthers. I think one or two more. Patrick Mahomes or Taysom Hill? That's a tough one. I'm going to have to think about that. Do you think LaFleur has what it takes to get the most out of Jordan Love? That's a billion-dollar question, right? I mean, obviously Mark Murphy does. That's why he hired the guy. I am cautiously optimistic. You know, I thought, obviously, there were hiccups along the way, but LaFleur had a very promising first season. Now, how much of that, especially on the offensive side of the ball, is coming down to having great veterans like Aaron Rodgers who can kind of take the reins? I do think they are in a perfect situation with LaFleur because he gets to quote-unquote learn on the job, so to speak, as a head coach with one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play the game for the next at least 2 years probably, right? And then they finally make that move whenever they make it to Jordan Love. Well, now LaFleur's got a couple years under his belt. Gets the lay of the land, knows what's up, knows what he wants from that position specifically, if he doesn't already, and gets to start bringing him along. So, yeah, I'm optimistic, yeah, that Matt LaFleur is the man for the job. We'll see. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to go. Can't thank you guys enough for hanging out here for Packers Daily. Like I said yesterday, I'll be doing these every day, Monday through Friday, pretty much for the rest of my life. No, through the season, probably, hopefully. May miss a day or two here or there, but for whatever reason, maybe work-related, family, whatever. But most days I'll be here, 10 a.m. Eastern. Please hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack Go.